Hello, this is Nick Brian Walters, sometimes known as Bad Fish in the IRC channel, reading to you from the Phone Losers of America book by Brad Carter, and the chapter I'm reading is Dino and His Cordless Phone. The first part before the regular text here, a quote from someone says, "This made me laugh until I was crying. I hope all is well in Dino's life, and I hope he wins the lottery. He deserves something good to happen. Wherever you are, Dino, I hope you are drinking a beer and chilling." That's from Sam in Nebraska. Now the regular text starts. In early 1995, after living for a month in Austin so that I could attend a hacker conference called HoHoCon, I took a train up to Illinois to visit my parents for a few weeks. I hadn't seen them in over a year at that point, and had a good time catching up with them and seeing some old friends. I'd taken up residence in their attic, and I spent most of my evenings calling up computer bulletin board systems and watching television, just killing time and chatting with friends before I headed back to Texas. On the evening this story took place, I was scanning local cordless phone channels on my new Bearcat scanner that I'd just purchased a few weeks earlier in Austin. Throughout the 1990s, it was easy to pick up cordless phone conversations from several blocks away, with just about any police scanner. After buying the scanner, my friend Zach, who was in Austin with me for the conference, spent hours listening to a teenage girl talk on her cordless phone and interfered with her conversations by calling up her friends and saying crazy things to them. To us, it seemed like a huge leap forward in prank calling, since we could listen to the cordless phone user call up everyone and flip out over the crazy pranks they were receiving. As I sat on the couch watching television and scanning the cordless phone channels, I suddenly heard dial tone on my scanner and someone slowly pushing touch tones. I turned the TV down and the scanner up. The signal was coming in really loud and clear, which meant that the caller was very close to me. A girl answered the phone with the name of a local hospital, then said, "This is Sharon. May I help you?" The man on the cordless phone didn't seem to really need anything from Sharon, but just wanted to chat. After listening to the conversations for a few minutes, I heard Sharon refer to him as Dino, and it seemed that they were a married couple. Sharon seemed like a normal enough person, but Dino was extremely amusing in the way that he spoke and the bizarre things he said. It didn't take long for me to notice that Dino wasn't very bright. He was always smoking a Marlboro and cursed nonstop, whether he needed to or not. He was always upset about trivial things and never seemed to be happy. All he did was complain to Sharon as she tried her best to console him. It was easy to come up with a mental picture of a slack-jawed Dino wearing an old flannel shirt and covering his greasy, stringy, shoulder-length hair with a NASCAR cap. As the conversation wore on, he began yelling at Sharon, telling her that something was wrong with the television and that there was nothing good to eat in the house. Meanwhile, I was thumbing through the phone book, looking for the phone number of the hospital that Sharon worked at. I found it just as Dino was making a comment about wanting to beat Sharon's ass when she got home from work, but then told her that he was just kidding. I quickly dialed the hospital and heard Sharon's phone ringing in the background as Dino continued to rant at her. "Hold on, Dino. I've got another phone call." She put him on hold and switched it over to me. "Hey, Sharon," I said to her. "You better be careful. I think he's lying to you, and he might actually beat you tonight." Before I could even hang up on her, she clicked back over to Dino and said, "Dino, I just got the weirdest phone call." She told them all about my call, and they tried to figure out how that could have happened. I felt like I'd done them a huge favor, since they were now working on a problem as a team instead of yelling at each other. My single phone call had been more effective than any marriage counselor could have been. In the end, they concluded that some guy named Matt must be responsible. Not wanting to get this Matt character in trouble, I immediately called the hospital back and told Sharon that I definitely wasn't Matt. "Dino, hang up. Somebody's listening to our conversation. It was that guy, and he said he's not Matt." "Huh?" Dino replied. the guy that we've been talking about just now. She sounded as if she were explaining to a small child. He just called me back and told me that he's not Matt. That means he must be listening to our conversation somehow. Hey, if there's some dickhead out there listening, why don't you call me, a chicken shit bastard? 555-3466, you little fuck. Dino yelled blindly into the phone, hoping that whoever was listening would hear him. I could tell that this was going to be even more fun than the girl we bothered in Austin, so I called up Zach, who had the luxury of three-way calling on his line. I explained to him what was happening and that Dino had just given me his phone number, so we called him up and we both gave him a piece of our minds. "Listen here, you little pricks," Dino yelled. "I'll give you $100 if you come over here and show me your faces instead of hiding behind your fucking phone." "Would that be cash or food stamps, sir?" said Zach's hilarious reply. "Hey, fuck you. Come on over here and show your face." "If we come over, will you give us beer?" I asked Dino. "Yeah, I'll give you beer. Come over and we can all drink a beer." "But then you'll kick my ass." "No, I won't kick your ass. Just come on over here and show me your face." As crafty as Dino was being, we didn't fall for his ruse, and Zach finally hung up the phone on him, so we could listen to him call up Sharon to yell at her about us. He called up several of his friends afterwards, telling them about our phone calls and asking if they had any idea who it could be. We wanted to make things a little more exciting for Dino, so we decided to send the police to his house. I had a cellular phone that wasn't registered to anyone's name, so I could dial 911. They'd have no idea where the call was coming from. 911, what's your emergency? "Yeah, I'm over here parked on the side of the street in my car, and I'm watching these kids break into some guy's house here. They're all going into the basement window, and they've got flashlights." "Alright, what address is being broken into?" the 911 operator asked, and I gave him Dino's address, which Dino had given to us so that we could come over there and collect our $100 and drink a beer with him. He lived across the street from my parents, and I had a perfect view of his house from one of the attic windows. I turned off the attic light and crouched by the window, waiting for the excitement to begin. Luckily, Dino lived just down the street from my neighborhood donut shop, so three police cars were there in a matter of minutes. Two of them began shining their spotlights all over his house. While all this was happening, we were listening to Dino talk to some guy on his phone about us. Suddenly, he noticed the spotlight shining into the windows and said, "Fuck! Hold on a minute!" as he ran outside to talk to the police. Zach and I spent the next hour just listening to all the phone calls that Dino made. He called his wife at work and told her about everything that had happened with the police. Then he called up a friend and told him the same story, only this time making things up so that it was even more exciting. He asked his friend if he could borrow his caller ID box so that he could see who's calling him, and the friend had to explain to him that it doesn't work like that and Dino would have to subscribe to the caller ID service with the phone company. This wouldn't do him much good anyway, given Zach's unconscious habit of always blocking his number with *67 before dialing anything. As things became boring and repetitive in the Dino household, I once again whipped out my Motorola flip phone and made a collect call to Dino's house. When Dino answered, the operator said to him, "This is Ameritech Cellular Operator. I have a collect call from Roy Gerbil. The charges are approximately $1.95 per minute. Will you accept the charges?" For some reason, the idea of having to pay for harassing phone calls to himself upset Dino, and he refused the charges by yelling obscenities at the operator until she hung up. Then Dino immediately clicked back over to his friend to tell him what had just happened. It was such a bonus to prank calling, getting to hear in great detail exactly how upset we were making our victim. Zach picked at random a name out of his telephone book and dialed the number for me, which happened to belong to a man named David Vaughn. By this time, it was past midnight. Hello? A sleepy Mr. Vaughn answered. "Hi, this is Ameritech Messaging Service," I said. "I have an emergency message for you. Do you have a pen and pencil?" Hold on a second, he said. Okay, go ahead. Is it a pen or is it a pencil you have? I asked. What? Never mind. The message says that you need to call this phone number. It's 555-3466. And that's in an emergency. And that it's an emergency, and you need to call him as soon as possible. Okay, thank you, Mr. Vaughn replied. Thank you for using Ameritech. Less than a minute later, Dino's cordless phone began ringing on my scanner. He sounded extremely pissed off when he picked up the phone and screamed, "What?" at Mr. Vaughn. Someone just called here saying that I need to call you? Mr. Vaughn explained. Surprisingly, Dino actually believed what Mr. Vaughn was telling him, so he explained the entire situation to Mr. Vaughn in great detail. It was obvious that Mr. Vaughn just wanted to hang up the phone and go back to sleep. It drug on and on with Dino asking him all kinds of questions. "Do you have a cordless phone?" Dino asked him. "No," Mr. Vaughn replied. "Do you have caller ID?" "No." "Okay, do you have a cellular phone?" Dino was unable to pronounce the word cellular correctly, and it came out more like cell-layer. Zach and I would burst into laughter each time he attempted the word. "No, whoever called me was some guy from Ameritech. It wasn't a kid." "Did he say anything about Roy?" Dino asked. No, he said he was from Ameritech Message Service, and he had a message for me. "Do you live here in Alton?" "No, I'm in Wood River. I don't know where they got my number." "Well, my number's in the phone book. They call me and all they can do is sit there and play little games with me. And I told them, hey, come down here and I'll give you $100 to see your face. I just want to see who the hell you are. They say that they live here and his name is Chris or something, but I don't even know if it's true or not." Zach and I continued to laugh hysterically together at all of Dino's silly questions and at poor Mr. Vaughn, who was too polite to just hang up on Dino and go back to sleep. We repeated the same trick several times, introducing ourselves as various messaging services with names like the Google Relay Message Company. Dino apparently starved for companionship and would keep them on the phone as long as he could, telling them all about us and the crazy night of prank calls that he was having. And he always asked them if they had a caller ID, hoping that maybe they'd caught our phone number. This gave us a great idea. So Zach called Dino's house. "Hello?" He said, yeah, I just got a call from something called the Kick-Ass Relay Service, and I'm supposed to call you or something?" I said in a confused voice. "Okay, let me explain to you what's going on. There's these kids," and Dino gave me a lengthy rant about the problems he'd been dealing with. When he asked if I had a caller ID, I told him that I did, which really excited him. Caller ID was a relatively new technology in 1995, and not too many people had it yet. Dino thought he'd finally lucked out, finding someone who actually had caller ID and could reveal the identity of the pranksters once and for all. So he asked if I could check the caller ID box to see who had called me. "Okay, hold on. Let me get up," I said. "All right, you want the number that's on here?" "Yeah." Dino could barely contain his excitement. "It's 618-555-0537. He thanked me and we both hung up. Immediately called the number I gave him, not realizing it was a number of some guy Zach and I had been screwing with for the past year named Chris McCall. Chris's dad answered, "Hello," in a sleepy voice, and Dino yelled him, "I got your number, you motherfucker!" Chris's dad just sat there silently, not really knowing what to think as Dino continued to yell at him. After about a minute, he finally hung up on Dino. And before Dino clicked his cordless phone off, we could hear him happily singing, "Ha ha, you little pricks, I know who you are!" As soon as he hung up, Zach called Dino's house. "Hello? I don't think you're gonna get a record contract anytime soon with that voice," Zach told him. "Hey, wait a minute. Hey, don't you have fucking people calling my fucking house, you little fucking jackoff? What's your number, man?" 555-0537. "Are you sure?" Dino asked playfully. "No. I'm telling you a big fucking joke. Well, I imagine you would be, because that's all you've been doing all fucking night long is playing a fucking joke. Let me tell you something else. Every fucking call you make at my wife's fucking work number is being recorded, but I know you don't care. Well, will your wife sell me the tapes? Because I've said some pretty funny things tonight. Hey, let me tell you something, boy. You fuck with my wife, you're fucking with your own life. I already have. She's not that good. Oh, yeah, right. And she gave me herpes. Well, I gotta go now. Zach was obviously bored with Dino. Hey, wait a minute, man. Let me get a pen. I want to call you. What's your name? I'm G Homie Roy. Who you down with? Fuck you, Dino yelled. Okay, bye. Later on, dickhead. Dino sure knew how to get the last word in. A few more people called Dino and told him the huge relay service left his number for them, and Dino went through the whole spiel of keeping them on the phone and asking them questions for as long as he could with each of them. A friend had told Dino earlier that he needed to dial *69 to get our number after we called, but Dino couldn't remember this complex string of digits and repeatedly referred to it as *32 to everyone else, which made both of us laugh every time. After talking to Zach for a while, rewinding the cassette tapes that I had made of his ranting and giggling over it, we started to get bored again, so we called Dino. It was now approaching 1 a.m. Hi, Dino, I said to him in a deadpan voice. I just wanted you to know that I'm monitoring all of your phone calls. Yeah, I know you are, dickface, he replied. You know the gray box on the side of your house that says telephone network interface on it? Well, I've plugged my phone into that and I have complete control over your lines. Resistance is futile. Yeah, you're full of shit, you little fucker. Why don't you tell me where you are? Okay, we're parked across the street by that church in a blue van. There's a satellite beamed at your house, so we hear everything you say, even when you're not on the phone. Bullshit, that's the church's van. It's always parked there. Of course it's always parked there. We always watch you. There's a camera over there on your bookshelf. Listen, you little dickweeds, I'm gonna find out who you are. Hey, Dino, Zach said. Exactly what year of grade school did you drop out of? After Zach hung up the phone, Dino called his wife at work and began telling her everything I said in a panicked voice. He'd apparently taken everything I told him seriously. What's wrong with you? Sharon asked him. Man, these guys have got something huge going on. They've got a big setup somewhere, and they said there's some kind of gray box on the outside of the house. I'm walking around the house right now looking for it. I jumped up off the couch and ran to the window. I looked across the street for Dino, but I must have missed him. A second later, he told his wife that he was back inside and couldn't find any gray box, but that we'd tapped his phones and that we were watching their house. Dino, they're probably lying, and they're just listening to the cordless phone. This was the first time we'd heard them guess that it was their cordless phone's fault. If they knew we were listening to the cordless phone, then why did Dino continue to use it? I could just imagine the dramatic spy music playing in his head as he peered out the window at the church's van and ransacked his bookshelf looking for hidden cameras. As tough as he acted with us on the phone, he sounded on the verge of tears while talking to his wife. I picked up the cellular phone again and placed a call to a random number in Los Angeles, telling the roaming operator that I wanted to bill to my home phone. The roaming operator asked for my home phone number, and I gave him Dino's number. Okay, I'm going to have to verify the charges. Could I have your name? She asked. Yeah, my name is Sharon, I replied. Sharon? Are you making fun of me? No. Hold just a minute, please. After a few rings, Dino hung up on his wife and answered his phone. Hello? At this point, he sounded exhausted. Hi, this is Ameritech roaming operator number 1753. I have Sharon placing a call to California from her cell phone and wants to bill the charges to you. The charges are approximately $1.95 a minute. Will you accept the charges? Is this really a cell air operator? Dino asked. Yeah, she responded slowly. Well, I'm talking to Sharon on the other line. Is there any way you can trace that call? No, I can't trace the call, but I can put a block on the phone so they won't be able to bother you anymore. Okay, could you do that? The cellular operator arranged to have all attempts to bill calls to his phone denied. This meant that anyone wanting to make a legitimate collect or third-party call to Dino from a cellular phone on that carrier wouldn't be able to. Of course, that was just on a cellular phone. But he seemed to think this meant that there was absolutely no way that we'd be able to call him on any phone ever again. Dino called Sharon back and explained to her that everything was taken care of and that he'd just fix things with the operator so that we'd never be able to call them again. As he was finishing up, telling her how the long nightmare was finally over and they could rest easy again, Zach called him to let him know that he was completely wrong. I couldn't believe how much Dino and Sharon talked on the phone together. You might think that since they were possibly a newly married couple that maybe they just enjoyed hearing each other's voices, but it wasn't like that at all. They were mostly fighting about ridiculous things or talking about the prank calls, and they seemed to completely despise each other. Zach kept calling Dino during their conversations, but he refused to click over once he figured out that it was us. After a while, they hung up on each other, and Dino dialed zero and asked the operator to connect him with the local police. He told the policeman the entire story of his crazy night, oblivious to the fact that the policeman was treating him like a complete idiot. The policeman told him that there was nothing they could do about harassing calls, and he should try calling the phone company. So Dino looked in front of the phone book and found the number for Ameritech customer service. Luckily for him, the phone company's billing office was open 24 hours a day. You have reached the Ameritech customer billing office for residential accounts. All representatives are currently busy. For faster service, please call us Tuesday through Friday during the daytime. Your call will be answered by the next available operator. Representative, your approximate wait time is greater than 10 minutes. Dino sat on the phone, listening to the phone company hold music for more than 15 minutes. Zach constantly interrupted the phone company's hold music with call waiting beeps, but Dino wouldn't click over and talk to us. Finally, he got through to the Ameritech representative. Finally, he got through and told the Ameritech representative his life story, and she told him that she could change his phone number or sign him up with the caller ID service. It would cost $80 to have his number changed. She also told him that there was no such thing as a cellular operator. After spending about 10 minutes on the phone with her, he told her he wasn't ready to change his number or sign up for anything, and they hung up. He began thumbing through the yellow pages and he called up every cellular network number, only to find that they all seemed to be closed at 2 in the morning. Then he happened upon the number to the Illinois Relay Service and called them. He began explaining everything that had happened to him to the lady who answered, and she interrupted him by saying, "Sir, this is the Illinois Relay Service for deaf people. I have no idea what you're saying." Soon after this, Zach hung up with me, and I sat alone for several more hours, listening to Dino try to solve the mystery by calling up even more random businesses out of the phone book. I couldn't understand some of the connections he was trying to make with the places he was calling, but most places were obviously closed at that hour. He called his wife many more times throughout the night, yelling at her and complaining about miscellaneous things, and finally got her permission to change their phone number so that we could never call again. He was put on hold for another 10 minutes and then arranged to have his phone number changed to an unlisted number. Fortunately for him, they decided not to charge him $80 for the change, but just $1.85 a month to keep the number unlisted. The operator gave Dino his new unlisted number as I wrote it down. At about 4:15 a.m., he was talking to his wife at work again, and they were still trying to figure out everything that had happened and who could be responsible. Well, I'm wondering about this one house across the street on the next block over. The whole time all this was happening, the light upstairs was on, and now they're not calling anymore, and his light is turned off. Which house is it exactly? Sharon asked. There's the yellow house, a blue house, and then a white house, and that's the fucking one I'm talking about. I reached up and turned on my light. There, his light just went on again, Dino exclaimed. I know who lives there, Sharon exclaimed. It's Alex Carbon. I went to school with him. He knows all about computers and phones and stuff. He was like a total weirdo in grade school. I bet it's him. Meanwhile, I'm frantically thinking, shit. I've been found out. I suddenly realized that Sharon's voice sounded familiar because I knew exactly who she was. She used to date my brother in junior high. In fact, I used to make prank calls to Sharon all the time when we were in third grade together. She always knew it was me and would yell at me about it in school the next day. This was a semi-regular routine for Sharon and I back then. I had never heard of anyone named Dino, but I was beginning to think that it would be a good idea to cut my vacation short and head back to Texas. Soon after this, Sharon had instructed Dino to find her high school yearbook so he could see a picture of me. Clearly unfamiliar with the concept of a book, Dino was having a tough time locating me. I can't find it anywhere, he complained. It's in the juniors section, Sharon had reverted to her talking to a child voice. There isn't a junior section. It goes senior, sophomore, freshman. I think they forgot to put junior in. No, look right after the senior section. It should be there. This went on for minutes. He finally figured out the yearbook and found the right class, but then had to deal with the complex task of how to spell Carbon, which had him flipping all over the junior class pages, even though I was on the very first page. When he finally found my picture, he said, "Yeah, he looks like somebody that'd do something like this." Since Sharon worked at the hospital, she was able to access patient files on her computer and found my parents' phone number, which she gave to Dino. I was becoming more nervous as their conversation continued about me and my family. After they hung up, I knew that Dino would probably try to call me since he seemed completely oblivious to the fact that most people were asleep in the middle of the night. I dialed the phone company test loop and listened to the silence so a ringing phone wouldn't wake my parents downstairs. When his call beeped in, I answered in a deep, sleepy voice that I hoped Dino wouldn't recognize. Hello? Yes, could I speak to an Alex Carbon? He doesn't live here anymore, I replied, trying my best to sound annoyed. Well, I think he's been calling my house tonight. Do you have any idea what time it is? I asked him. Dino ignored the question and went into the same rant that I'd heard many times before that night, telling the entire story of a couple of pranksters that had been harassing him. Well, Alex hasn't lived here for more than 2 years now. If he's calling you, he's calling you from Texas, and it has nothing to do with us. Okay, thank you, he replied and hung up. To my relief, Dino immediately called back his wife and assured her that he talked to my father and it wasn't me after all. He told her that I was going to college in Texas. College? What? And that I hadn't lived in the area for a while. All I know is that he was really strange in grade school and junior high, Sharon told him. He had a cellular phone back then and all this electronic stuff, and he knew how to take a phone apart and tap it. Sharon continued to tell Dino all about me and the amazing things I knew how to do. I don't know where she was coming up with all of it, but most of it was either exaggerated or not true at all. It made me wonder what kind of crazy rumors must have gone on about me back then. Sure, I was a complete weirdo in school, but Sharon was making my weirdness sound epic. This was in 1986 when nobody had cellular phones, let alone kids in junior high. But I did remember one incident where I brought my cordless phone to school so a friend and I could make calls from a nearby cordless phone line. We'd been doing this all week during lunch, and one morning during band practice, I was horrified to hear the cordless phone ringing from my backpack. Most likely it was ringing from the same guy's cordless line that we'd been stealing phone calls from. The band instructor stopped our practicing and asked what the noise was, and after a few seconds of praying that it would just stop, I said, let me get that. The entire class watched as I walked across the room to switch it off. I guess Dino fell asleep soon after this conversation, since my scanner went silent after the phone call ended. I fell asleep too, but was woken at 10 a.m. by the sound of Sharon dialing a number on her cordless phone. I had left my scanner on all night so I could listen to things if they developed any further. I also left my speakerphone on the silent test loop number all night, just in case Dino decided to call back and grill my father any further, which he never did. My eyes were still closed as I reached over to shut off my speakerphone and listen to Sharon's phone call. Sharon called her mother, told her about everything that had happened that night, and gave her mom the new phone number. Then she called her sister and did the same thing. I couldn't understand why they would continue using the cordless phone when they knew that somebody was listening to their conversations on it. Sharon called several more people that morning, telling everyone what had happened and making up new details as she went along. Both her and Dino seemed unsatisfied with a true story and had to exaggerate or make up details to make it even more interesting. That morning marked the end of our adventures with Dino, for more or less the rest of that decade. Later that day, I typed the entire story out on my laptop computer, turned it into an issue of the newly formed PLA Zine, and uploaded it to a few computer bulletin board systems so that other people could have a laugh at it all, just as Zach and I had. I left town a couple days later, taking an Amtrak back to Texas. Although I had held on to Dino's new phone number, Zach and I only called him back once or twice more over the next few years, and nothing too interesting ever came out of the calls, other than a lot of swearing and threats from Dino. It just wasn't as fun, though, without being able to hear Dino's frantic calls to his wife about the prank calls. A few years later, in 1997, I passed through town to visit my parents again, and I was surprised to hear Dino and Sharon having a fight on the phone when I turned on my scanner. Sharon was at home on the cordless phone, and Dino was at a friend's house. She'd called to yell at him because he was always spending all of their money by cashing checks at the grocery store. She asked what the hell he wrote a check for $15 for, and he claimed it was for a gallon of antifreeze, which cost $3.99 for most people. The argument climaxed, and right around the end, Sharon said, "Dino, I need to know where you and me stand. I need you to meet me halfway here." There was complete silence from Dino. "Dino?" Dino replied to her, and I swear I'm not making this up. "Hold on, I gotta find my cigarettes." It was classic Dino. The conversation ended abruptly after that. In 2004, Dino found out from a relative that he was an internet celebrity, and that hundreds of people were commenting on the story about him. An uncle of his stumbled across the story and recognized Dino's name, so he printed out the entire page and gave it to him. This didn't appear to set well with Dino, because he showed up at my parents' door one night around 10 p.m., print out in hand and extremely angry. I got a breakdown of the story from my dad the next day. He said that Dino claimed that my phone calls were the reason he divorced Sharon, and that he would be serving papers to have me sued soon. My dad explained to Dino that I was 30 years old and hadn't lived at that address in over a decade. I'd never told my dad about the Dino incident, so after he told me about his Dino encounter, I let him in on what Zach and I did to him that night, nearly 10 years earlier. My dad said He remembered Dino from when he lived by the church and that he was always yelling at his wife outside and speeding off in his car. Yet somehow, Dino wanted to blame a single night of prank calls for the demise of his marriage. Obviously, the lawsuit never happened. At that point, I had been living back in Alton for several years, and I expected Dino to show up at my door soon since I had a listed phone number and address in the phone book. I had a security camera on my front porch, and I really hoped to videotape a confrontation with Dino. But he never showed up. A video of me getting my ass kicked by Dino would have made an excellent addition to my Dino page on the internet. During the few years that my wife and I lived in Illinois, we made it a yearly tradition each Halloween to take our daughter trick-or-treating in Dino's neighborhood. Just so we could cower back in the shadows as our daughter knocked on Dino's door and accepted candy from him. It was amusing to see Dino up close and to hear him talk to the kids coming up to his door. To us, it was like visiting a celebrity. End of chapter.